Jimmy and Christy Cook are the co-founders and directors of Be the Change Volunteers. Through the organization, groups travel around the world to help build schools. Today, we are talking about making the commitment to large-scale volunteerism. You recently wrote an article about overcoming excuses to volunteer, specifically when it comes to the kind of volunteerism like what you do, traveling and really taking people out of their comfort zones. What are some of the most common factors that keep people from volunteering?
I think the most common factors are very legitimate ones. As you said, our trips are big deals, so they're typically 2 weeks of your life, and you really need to take your vacation time a lot of times to do that with other things going on. So a lot of times it's just time and kids and responsibilities and work and all that kind of stuff, which of course is very legitimate. The ones that I think we can hopefully help people overcome are things like, I can't be useful, or I can't do it, or you're doing big construction things, you know, that's not in my realm of talents or abilities. And so we can easily overcome those, because on our trips, what we love to say is every person is just as important and every job is just as important as the next one, including hugging a kid, talking with a mom, teaching a kid to color, all those types of things.
And why is going now so important as opposed to going later?
I think one of the people that actually helped us write the article for Columbia Faves really said it best, is there's never a perfect time. You know, so I think if you get in a habit, if it becomes something and you realize, like, we can guarantee you will, that it will change your life and that you'll become addicted like we are. So why not start now? You know, you're always going to have to figure out something. There's always going to be, you know, if it's not your kids now, it's your mom when she's older. And so, you know, just figure out a way. There are so many people and so many ways to get help in doing it financially and physically and time-wise. And I think that is part of the experience as well, too, is that the people here locally that come around and help you, I mean, then they feel a part of it. So they're sending you. And so you can bring that experience back to them when they maybe are ones that also can't go right now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main things that people are concerned about is, I can't go, so therefore I'm not going to do anything. And so what they come to realize is that they can help send somebody, and, you know, even if it's a little donation, that in combination with other people's little donations can get somebody else to go who has the time that they can commit and the vacation that they can go and help build a school for somebody else.
So really encompassing that idea that everybody can have a part to play in this.
Right.
And in your article, you gave advice from several people who have gone on your trips. What was some of the most valuable advice they gave or that you've heard other people give?
For me, it was, and this was neat to hear it because it helps me, like, with this interview and to talk to other people, is that, you know, kind of, to put it this way, get over your ego, is that you can trust other people to take care of things at home. And in a lot of ways, it's really, really neat. The most powerful one for me was from a mother that we know, Kim, with two pretty small kids. I mean, young kids. And it is a big deal. I mean, we realize it's a big deal. But she, when she came back, she said it was so neat for them to spend more time with their dad, their teachers helped, the neighbors helped, the grandparents, and they got a different experience, you know. I mean, they were glad to see mom at the end, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you know, what she was so worried about actually turned into a very positive thing.
What do you tell people when they hesitate or when they have a hard time committing to what you refer to in your article as the big one?
Yeah.
What are some other things that you've told them?
I guess for me it would be, it does sound cliched to some degree, but I think to me it will be so worth it. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. So if you, and I, believe me, it's coming from pointing the finger at myself, because on our second big one, our second own big trip, I was like, there's no way I can take off more work. Christy was all in from the get-go, you know, and I was like, there's just no way I can take off more work. But once I went, I mean, it changed my whole life. And, I mean, that's why we build schools today, because I went on the second big one. And, you know, it was worth every ounce of those 9,000 emails when I got back that I had to deal with. And it was worth every ounce of catching up and every time that we spent doing that, because it's like nothing else you can experience. And it really makes a difference.
One of the things that people will, and we experienced on our trips, is that once you come back, you kind of feel selfish. Like, I think, you know, you go on the trip to help this community and help the kids in building a school, but at some point during the trip, you feel like you've gotten more out of it than you've given. And so a lot of people experience that, and they're like, I feel selfish because I got more out of it than I think I offered to the kids, which is good, and it's bad, you know, because people feel bad about it. But it does change your life, and you can expect to have those feelings of, you know, selfishness because you've gotten more than you feel like you've given. But when you get back and you get a picture of 30 kids with these huge smiles on their face, sitting at their new desks in their new classroom with their teacher that has appropriate things to teach their class, it just makes all that go away.
And for those who do want to commit to a larger trip like these ones and who are ready to make that step, but have some of those logistical challenges to overcome, like finances or family, what are some practical steps people could take?
Get with us and get examples of letters. I think people want to give so much. I mean, especially, one, the purpose for us, at least, is education. Two, it's 100% of their donations go to it, so it's easy in that realm. And again, you can be their arms and legs. And that's so important for people that just can't do it overall. So I think that's a big thing. I mean, certainly it would be for me. It's tough to get over that. Like, I don't want to ask people for money, you know, but it's not. If you get an example from us on a letter, it comes off very positive and people are so into it. And then just little things. I mean, one of our great volunteers, Dusty, you know, he said, everybody in Columbia has a Shakespeare's cup. Get your Shakespeare's cup, put change in it that you're going to get rid of. I'll come collect it. I'll take it to the bank. I'll raise money. He raised $1,700 that way in about 5 months through Facebook, through reaching out. I mean, it's just, you can definitely do it. And then, you know, just your network of friends, I think, for the physical, logistical things. But, you know, every grandparent wants to come spend time with their grandkids, so just schedule that time. You know, uncles, neighbors, all that kind of stuff. Even teachers around here, I was so impressed with that. Teachers, you know, realized what was happening and took extra care for the kids. So I think the network and the finances are there. It's just really kind of on us to get over maybe our nerves or our qualms about just asking.
And it was funny that during the trip that this mother's daughter was getting her hair fixed by the neighbor every morning because she saw that the husband was having problems with, you know, doing the hair correct, and so the neighbor girl came over to do her hair every morning while she was gone. So that was fun.
And let's shift just a moment and talk a little more about what your focus is. And your trips do focus on education, and most of your articles focus on the value of education. How is the value of education viewed in some of the countries you visited compared with how it's viewed, say, here in Columbia, Missouri?
I mean, that's the amazing thing. Education, and we're going to the remotest parts, most impoverished parts of the world. But that's honestly one of the things that's affected us the most is education is everything. It's cherished, it's valued, it's respected, it's esteemed. And that's why it's honestly so easy in terms of, you know, what we're doing, our mission. Because they will do anything. And so the, you know, sustainability, the taking ownership of it, it's just awesome. I mean, I could tell you stories all day long if we had more than 3 minutes, but it's just everything to them. And the great thing is that we believe that that's the only long-term solution for the things that they're, the hurdles that they're trying to overcome. And so it's a win-win because we think it's the answer and they see it as the most, you know, most coveted thing and the answer as well.
Yeah, education is definitely precious to them, and you know, we take for granted that we have a school, you know, within, you know, walking distance or a bus ride, whereas these kids can travel miles to go to school every single day, and they have to walk. Very few of them have bicycles to ride or cars to go. There's no school bus to pick them up and take them to school. So, you know, education is very, very important to them, and it takes effort for the kids to go to school, unlike ours, where they get on a school bus and go.
I think that's about all we have time for, and thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.